The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 43. Please turn to page 136 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of the Lord. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Amen. Today is the Sunday we mark the 18th anniversary of the church's founding. We cannot but thank the Lord and praise Him for how He has worked for the past 18 years for our church. In particular, I cannot forget God's presence. When the church struggled to properly take care of the Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and the Korean Christian Martyrs Memorial Center. I also thank the Lord for being with the church and guiding the church when there was a change in the church's leadership and also when the COVID-19 pandemic broke out. And I thank the members of the church who strove and devoted themselves for the mission God has provided us with until this day, despite various difficulties. The word of God given to us today on this anniversary Sunday is verse 39 of today's passage. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. Jesus had his last Passover supper with his disciples on earth. And then he headed to the Mount of Olives to pray. But it says, as usual. This is the last time Jesus will pray at the Mount of Olives. So the passage could have been recorded simply as, Jesus went out to the Mountain of Olives. Or, if it said, Jesus went out for the last time to the Mount of Olives, it may have been clearer. However, the passage states, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives as usual. This means that despite Jesus facing his death on the cross, which was the purpose he came to earth, he lived life as usual, as if nothing special would happen. This was right up to when he was arrested and suffered on the cross. So our daily life is truly important. Jesus was not only committed to his daily life at this time. The public life of Jesus began after he fasted for 40 days in the wilderness and fended away temptations by Satan. The launch of his mission to bear the cross is recorded in the following passage. This is Luke chapter 4, verse 16. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. Jesus, who began his public life to provide us with eternal life and to live as the people of God, went to the synagogue as was his custom. It means it was his custom, his habit from childhood until when he began his public life, to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath and worship God and learn the scripture. habits of faith that only keep formalities, and habits of faith that are irregular are not good. But proper habits of faith and regular habits of faith are good attitudes of faith. When waking up and before going to bed, if one has a habit of reading a chapter or two or even several verses of the Bible and praying even for a few minutes to thank God for allowing us to open our eyes and start the day and to go to bed after wrapping up the day, it is commendable and would be a great spiritual asset. It will allow our faith to deepen to a much greater extent than to receive training for a few dozen hours. And it is a good habit of faith to be in the worship hall when the Sunday service takes place. It would not be a proper habit of faith if one is sitting at the worship hall 1 week, but another week one is engaging in a hobby or sleeping in bed. Also, it is a good habit of faith to bow our heads and give thanks and be conscious of God for the food in front of us, rather than to look around and be conscious of other people. The problem actually occurs when habits of faith, the problem that occurs when habits of faith do not exist is greater than the problem that develops around habitual faith. The most proper habit of faith is obeying God and His Word. Samuel's mother, Hannah, had been barren. But Hannah, who conceived after her prayers, offered her son to God as her promise after Samuel was weaned. And Samuel grew up under the priest Eli. When Samuel served God under the priest Eli, it was an era in which the word of God was rare and there were not many visions. At the time, Samuel is presumed to be 12 years of age. The words in 1 Samuel that state, "The word of God, the word of the Lord was rare, there were not many visions," meant that it was a spiritually dark era. There was no prophet to deliver the word of God, and people rarely sought out to the Lord. Even so, the young Samuel served God under Eli. Is it not amazing? Eli was not properly carrying out the role of a priest, and his two sons Hophni and Phinehas were also priests, but essentially could not be called as priests. Samuel served God in such circumstances. It is important to meet a person who can serve as a teacher for us in life. But what is more important is the attitude we have. We think that our church is a good church. But that doesn't make us good members of the church or a good pastor. We need to keep practicing self-denial and make ourselves obey the word of God to become a good pastor and a good member of the church. Samuel was sleeping in the house of the Lord to light and put out the lamp there. Then God called on Samuel. Samuel thought the voice was that of priest Eli and ran to him. But the priest Eli told him he hadn't called him and told him to go back and lie down. Adults usually react immediately when an alarm rings in their sleep and they get up. People who are sensitive wake up when they hear a door open or close and can be disturbed by the sound of rustling next to them. But children often sleep through alarms. In many cases, they have a hard time getting up even if someone goes to wake them. When I was in my early 30s, I remember setting 6 alarms at 5 to 10 minute intervals to go to early morning prayer. Samuel was a young boy, but immediately reacted to God's calling and ran to Eli, thinking it was him who had called. This does not only indicate that Samuel was sensitive in his reaction, but also that he was spiritually alert. If we are not spiritually alert, we cannot know when God is calling out to us. God called Samuel 3 times, and Samuel's response was the same every time. He went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Samuel did not get annoyed, thinking, "Why does he keep calling me?" Only when God called Samuel for the 3rd time did the priest Eli realize that it was God that was calling Samuel. God then called Samuel for the 4th time. Then Samuel responded in the way the priest Eli had taught him, "Speak, for your servant is listening." God told him the following. This is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 11 to 12. "And the Lord said to Samuel, 'See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. And that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end.' God told Samuel that he would bring his judgment upon Eli's family, and said that all those who hear what God would carry out would have their ears tingle. It means that whatever they hear will be shocking. Shortly afterward, the Israelites lost their ark, the symbol of God's presence, to the Philistines, and Eli's 2 sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were killed on the same day. Eli, who heard the news, fell backward on his chair and broke his neck and died. The wife of Phinehas, who heard about the ark and the death of her husband and father-in-law during labor, gave birth to a son but named him Ichabod, which meant the glory has departed from Israel, and died. The word of God Samuel heard was shocking indeed. But the following verse records what Samuel did after hearing this shocking news. This is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 15. "Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord." Samuel hearing God's voice was like a milestone that marked the start of his life as a prophet. But even though Samuel heard this great voice of God, he did not change into the clothes of a prophet or change his appearance to look like a prophet. Neither did he go out declaring that a true prophet, a young prophet, had emerged. He did not fast and pray to God to keep speaking to him the way he had the previous night. He simply got up, as he did every day, and opened the doors of the house of God so that the priests could carry out their duties. God made Samuel, who was faithful in his daily life of faith, the gatekeeper of an era, the era of David, after the era of Judges, that was called a time of spiritual darkness. In our walks of faith, we can experience unusual things or supernatural events. But what is more important than special or supernatural experiences is coming back to our daily lives afterward. Samuel had an unusual experience, but he did not carry out work as a prophet starting the next day. Samuel was called as a prophet to deliver the word of God. But Samuel did not appear when the Philistines took away the ark symbolizing the word of God from the Israelites. It seems this would be the right time for Samuel to appear, but he didn't. The time Samuel became a prophet was when the descendants of Israel demanded a king. This was because this was the time that God had set. Lives of faith, lives of calling do not begin with and are not completed with certain events, great events. The young Samuel lived according to his habits in the place of his life. This was the best way for him to prepare himself to become a prophet and to walk the best path. Jesus Christ's suffering on the cross is the greatest event of humanity. Whatever happened in the history of humanity and whatever is to come cannot compare to the suffering on the cross. Jesus did not call for a huge gathering of tens of hundreds of thousands to complete his mission on the cross. He did not build a worship hall that transcended St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican City, not to mention the Temple of Jerusalem. He said to the temple that was being built over a span of 46 years, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." The things Jesus did out of habit to complete his mission of salvation, by which he would shed the blood of atonement on the cross, was to read the scripture at the temple, teach its meaning, spreading the gospel of the kingdom of God to the people who came, healing their illnesses and finding a place of prayer and kneeling before God. This is the word of God given to us as we mark the 18th anniversary of the founding of our church. It is walking faithfully according to the proper habits of faith to carry on the mission the Lord has given us and examine our willingness so that the Lord can achieve his will through us. The 100th anniversary Memorial Church launched a co-pastorship after the first senior pastor retired on the third Sunday of November 2018. The first co-pastorship was divided into four roles: pastoral administration, Sunday school, external ministry, and spirituality. But then the co-pastor, who had been in charge of external ministries, experienced health problems and had to take 14 months of sick leave. His health was not restored after he returned, so he resigned, which was saddening for the church. But our thoughts and God's thoughts not only differ, we know that God's thoughts are much greater. So despite the situation, we trust God who is guiding the church and carrying out his work. There is a person named Peter Drucker who is an Austrian-born American writer and is called the father of modern management. He called himself a social ecologist. A hospital is an organization which operates with the mission to contribute to the health and happiness of patients through medical treatment. So it is an organization that works around doctors who take the Hippocratic Oath and nurses who take the Nightingale Oath. It seems a hospital is a very simple organization. But Peter Drucker said hospitals are the most complex form of human organization we have ever attempted to manage. He said it was because experts who do very specialized work, such as doctors and nurses, medical support staff performing radiation or physical therapy, hospital administrators, and management support staff had to work together around patients. Without giving much thought, it seems churches are where people gather to worship and study the Bible, and where offerings are used for places in need. But churches also have a highly complex mechanism. So it is difficult for one person to know everything in depth, and for that person to excel at everything. There is a term, imperial presidency. We use it when a president's authority is much greater than other government institutions, comparing it to the status of an emperor. If we say imperial senior pastor, it would mean that all authority lies in that person. So if an imperial senior pastor promotes a political tendency, the church becomes a political group. If an imperial senior pastor acted like a CEO of a company, the church would become like a company. If an imperial senior pastor fell into the trap of wealth, lust, honor, or desire, the church would fall into trouble. Whatever is the case, the damage will be incurred on the members of the church. So an imperial pastorship has nothing to do with the size of a church. Whatever the size, a pastor can fall into the swamp of imperial pastorship. So the 100th anniversary Memorial Church has implemented the co-pastorship not to fall into the swamp, and to become more faithful channels of the Lord. About 30 years ago, team pastorship received attention among Korean churches. It is a similar format as co-pastorship. If three people engaged in a team pastorship, the three would take turns delivering the Sunday sermon and the Wednesday Bible study. They would receive the same salary and live in the same size house provided by the church. But God has given each of us different talents. And the environment we have grown up in and the training we have undergone are all different. In some team pastorships, the roles were clearly divided and each person had to focus on their respective role, which made it hard to intervene in other areas. So even though it was called a team pastorship, in some cases the pastors were only in charge of their own area. The co-pastorship, in the meantime, is defined as alone but together. each of the pastors in charge of ministry and administration, Sunday middle school, spirituality, and external ministry are performing their roles with responsibility. And they are sharing each of their ministries with the other co-pastors. So regardless of their roles, all of the pastors are also aware of other pastors' ministries as well. There were two things I decided when I took on the role of the senior pastor of spirituality in the co-pastorship. The other co-pastors would probably have had the same thoughts. First, was not to force my thoughts on anyone. If something I thought was a good idea was opposed by the other co-pastors, it would likely not be the will of God. So I thought it would be right to stop insisting on my idea and give it up. Second was to take things slow. The co-pastors are like contenders in a three-legged race, with their feet tied to another person's feet. So if I tried to run fast because I thought a certain task was important or urgent, the others would not be able to keep up, and everyone would fall. If I thought a certain task was not important nor urgent, so I refused to align my steps with the others, we would also fall. Each pastor, however close they may be to you, or how good a person they may be, each have different values when it comes to ministry. If values differ, co-pastorship becomes difficult. I'm grateful that the current co-pastors began their ministry at the 100th anniversary Memorial Church 9 years, 11 years, and 13 years before the co-pastorship began. So, they have taken the walk of their mission provided by God together. Each of us have different personalities, but we have the same value system when it comes to ministry, so we could be on this journey together for the past 4 years and 8 months. I trust the saying that no player is bigger than the team, which is said among athletes. If the co-pastorship does well, then we won't see pastoral succession take place, which is a reason Korean churches are talked about. If the co-pastorship does well, we won't see one person take control over personnel decisions or finances of the church. If a church has a simple decision-making structure, decisions can be made swiftly, but it can cause trouble because only a few people have decision-making power. On the other hand, if a church's decision-making process is complicated, it will take longer and may appear less efficient. But the agenda being decided will be transparent. Our church is run by about 70 members on the standing committee and about 260 members on the steering committee. It is a vast decision-making structure. This is because the church opted for transparency over efficiency. The co-pastorship can also be less efficient than having one senior pastor, but enhances transparency. I firmly believe that the co-pastorship system serves better as a channel to achieve God's will than having one senior pastor. Our church has been run based on the church's articles of association since the church's founding in 2005. At the time, the churches of Korea were not run by articles of association. At the time, many churches sought to follow the leading churches in the U.S., adopting vision statements. Each church made about 5 key values the church regarded as important. But the vision statement boom subsided. A vision statement is like a slogan that only serves its role during a certain period. It is like election slogans only serve their role during election season. So the vision statements of churches disappeared after a few years. And in some cases, disappeared when a new senior pastor came. There were also a lot of churches who held 40-day early morning prayer with the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. While it may be a good book, we cannot substitute the Word of God with it. Of course, we do not see this anymore. But articles of association are different. They are like law, so they have effect until they are discarded. Our church continues to revise the articles of association, and the church is run according to them. It seems very plain, but it is a proper habit and way to walk a meaningful and valuable journey. In the articles of association, we have four purposes the church seeks. First, the church aspires to become one holy, universal, and apostolic church based on the Bible. Number two, the church guides those saved by Jesus Christ to live, making our daily lives a worship to the Lord, taking on the mission and responsibility for the people and humanity as Christians. 3. The church takes on the faith and spirit of the 100-year Korean Christian mission and takes on the mission to lead the way to the coming 200-year of Christian mission. Number four, the church is entrusted with all authority of the Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and Korean Christian Martyrs Memorial Center, managing and running it independently and making these places a site of serving and spreading the gospel. These four are a spirit and value we should strive to keep. Among them, the church takes on the faith and spirit of the 100-year Korean Christian mission and takes on the mission to lead the way to the coming 200-year of Christian mission cannot be achieved by a slogan, a large event, or building a worship hall. It is achieved by repeating the things we have kept up so far, practicing according to habit. There are a number of things the church has kept up so far to make the church a true church. One is running the church based on the articles of association, and another is running the church by the standing and steering committees. You will have received the statement of accounts of last month together with the program today. The statement of accounts does not only report the monthly financial income, but reports and discloses the ledger in detail. We also hand out the church's monthly newsletter on the first Sunday of each month. In many cases, at churches, the first page will contain the senior pastor's column or sermon. But our newsletter has not published a piece by the senior pastor on the front page for the 208 times it has been published. None of the other pages have published a senior pastor's piece. This is because a church's newsletter is a document notifying the news of the church and is not a place to notify the church about the senior pastor. The prayer by the church member for the church's anniversary service was decided by alphabetical order. We do not ask a certain person to do the prayer on a special day or change the order for a certain person to do it. All the members of the church are equal people of God and are royal priests. There are more things the church has done to maintain itself as a true church and carry out its mission to pave the way to the 200-year Korean Christian mission. Things we do according to habit are not achieved by their own. They are achieved by self-denial and service. Beloved members of the church, let us faithfully walk the path of our lives we have been provided with. And if God entrusts us with big and small missions of the Lord we had not expected, let us do our best to carry them out. The steps may look plain, and it may look like we are practicing out of habit, but when the Christianity in Korea marks its 200-year anniversary 61 years later, the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church will be able to testify that it has taken on the faith and spirit of the past 100 years of Christianity in Korea, and that the church has served as a milestone, stepping stones, and a channel of the Lord to lead the way to the 200-year anniversary of Christianity in Korea. Because the Lord who has overcome this world will be with us until that day. No, until the end of this world. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to mark the 18th anniversary of our church today. Young Samuel heard the great word of God, yet the next day morning he opened the doors of the house of God like he had done every day. He did not boast that he had a supernatural experience of hearing the voice of God, nor did he promote what a spiritual person he was. But his daily life of faith enabled God to make him the prophet that opened the door to the era of kingship after the dark era of judges. And Jesus came to this earth to carry out the great, unimaginable mission of saving humanity. Jesus, during his public life, always went to the temple and read the scripture and taught the gospel of the kingdom of God. And Jesus, facing the tremendous suffering on the cross, went to the Mount of Olives as usual. His habits led to the salvation of humanity and the salvation of us who are meek and insignificant. Father God, we cannot count all of the blessings that you have provided our church with over the past 18 years. We pray that you remember the struggles of the church to preserve the two holy sites of Christianity in Korea, and the struggles that were made to take on the church's role to lead the path to the 200-year anniversary of Christianity in Korea. Steps may appear plain and can seem habitual, but help us remember that this is the best way to carry out our mission. Also, if the mission you have provided us with is your will and will give you joy, let us obey with all our hearts. When Christianity in Korea marks the 200-year anniversary, most of us will not be here and would look at the church from the kingdom of God. But let our church testify that it has served as the milestone, stepping stones, and the channel of the Lord to carry out its mission. In the name of Jesus, the Lord of our church, we pray. Amen.